Welcome to Life Skills for Kids, Superstar Practical Strategies, your go-to podcast for surviving and thriving with your children. I'm your host, Deb Hopper, and as a parent and an occupational therapist, I understand the reality of getting through each day with the kids. Join me now as we delve into tips, tricks, and strategies that you can use today. Hi, and welcome to the Life Skills for Kids podcast. I'm Deb Hopper, your host today. And today we're talking about the post-flood worries, how to help your child manage anxiety. After a flood, like the massive floods we have had here in Australia, in Queensland, northern New South Wales, and around Sydney just recently, it will take many families time to recover. And this will depend partly on the level of trauma that a family suffered during the actual event and how quickly life can return to normal after the event. For people who have had to evacuate their homes, whose homes were destroyed, or those who lost significant possessions or family pets, the process will be much longer. I was speaking to a colleague up north just an hour ago, and she was saying that there are tens and hundreds of families who have lost their homes, and it will take, you know, minimum 5 months for the builders to strip the homes inside and, you know, rebuild them on the inside. And in the meantime, they are living with family and friends. And, you know, that's a long time to not be in your own home, to not be with, you know, your precious things, many which have been lost forever. So traumatic for little kids, you know, to not have their favorite teddy or their favorite doll. So, so hard. But also hard and tricky for the families who are billeting them, you know, so needed and so gracious. But, you know, it's an impact on their lives for an extended time as well. And also, you know, there's the added financial hardship, you know, if people can or can't get back into work straight away. There are lots of compounding factors. And in these times, children look to parents and carers in crisis to know how they should behave and feel. It's important to stay calm and model a healthy stress response, but that's easier said than done, to help your child feel secure and comforted. And self-care is vital during this time, because we're unable to give to those around us if our own cup is empty. I cannot imagine how hard it is. And in these really tough times, don't be afraid to reach out and ask for help and support. So for children and young people, they function better when they have an understanding of what's happened. So encourage your child to ask questions or talk about the flood. Provide openings to get the conversation started, such as sharing your own feelings. Children and young people don't always talk about what's going inside. So let's look at some of the reasons, some of the ways that we can help to figure out if our children are anxious after the floods have subsided. A child's reaction after a disaster depends on their age, the developmental level, and previous exposure to disasters or trauma. Different coping styles also mean that kids react in different ways. Some might withdraw, while others will experience angry outbursts, agitation, or irritability. The following reactions are common after a natural disaster. The fear of being separated from family members, especially if this happened during the floods. The worry that something bad will happen to a caregiver or a loved one, auntie or uncle, friend from school. Tantrums, outbursts, meltdowns. They're just trying to make sense of everything. Strange physical ailments such as stomach aches or aches and pains. Increased activity levels, loss of concentration or inability to pay attention. Withdrawing from normal social situations. Worrying over their safety or the safety of a family member or a pet. Or grieving the loss of a family member or pet or friend. Falling school grades. they're trying to process so much, and they can't process everything. A persistent focus on the flood in play or conversation, loss of interest in previously enjoyable activities, appetite changes, regression to earlier behaviours such as baby talk or bedwetting is real, and an increase in risky teen behaviours such as drinking or substance abuse, self-harm, or undertaking dangerous activities. So what can you do to help your child? Parental involvement in a child's world is crucial to post-disaster recovery. Staying involved tells your child that they can trust you and depend on you to be there for them. Although it can be difficult to find time, it will pay off as your child learns to manage their emotions and anxiety in the recovery phase of a disaster. Leave yourself open to conversations. And it's so important as children try to process their experiences. You might find yourself answering the same questions more than once, many times. And this is okay, this is normal. So try to be patient. Clarify the question so that you understand what's behind it. What are they really asking? Children need to know what's happening in the family, with their school, and in the community. Keep it age appropriate and don't overwhelm them with too much information. But enough that they know what's happening and they can feel secure. Ask for opinions or ideas where appropriate to help your child feel involved. So here's some ways, some ideas to help your child manage their anxiety during their recovery phase. And in this instance, we're talking about managing anxiety after the floods. So firstly, mealtimes and bedtimes are good opportunities to talk. Turn off the TV or take a little extra time saying goodnight to give your child the chance to tell you what's on their mind. For younger children, you snuggle in, be there and just wait for them to ask the questions. Or just talk about what happened in the day. Be interested in them. Young children will benefit from extra stories and physical touch, lots of hugs to reassure them. Try to model calm responses in stressful situations, which is really hard when adults are trying to cope with everything as well. Your child is watching you to know how they should behave under the same circumstances. Remember that your ability to cope, it does influence your child's recovery. So it's important to care for yourself as well. And shielding your child and yourself from excessive exposure to the news or adult conversations that may trigger trauma memories, or they might frighten a child. And for older children, monitor media use, who might have their own social media accounts. Set limits and be prepared to stand your ground for the sake of your child's mental health. And also reassure them that they are safe now, even if you have to say it repeatedly. Spending extra time together, reading, playing games, or spending time in nature is really important. T-I-M-E, time, spells love to a child. And love means feeling secure. Remember to tell them that you love them often. If your family has lost a pet, pay attention to the grief process and mourn appropriately. Hold a memorial service or do something else to remember the life of your pet. Speak of the memories that you have of your furry friend and let your child know that it's okay to grieve and feel sad. Do your best to establish a routine to help your child feel secure. This is really important. A simple example is brushing your teeth before bed. It might seem a small thing, but it's a familiar activity and it helps a child feel safe and secure. And reassure your child that friends or loved ones are being cared for, even if there's no communication with them. And talk about the volunteers who are helping people. Looking after yourself includes staying healthy and making sure you drink enough, you have enough activity, going for a walk, and having a good diet and plenty of rest. Again, you may not feel like doing any of these, but it will really help your body and will really help your mindset to stay more positive. Maintain regular mealtimes and bedtimes. Again, this is coming back to routine, feeling safe and secure. And yet knowing what to expect and having these routines provides important structure that helps children and adults to feel safer. Encourage children to help and continue to allocate small chores as a part of daily life. Children feel better when they are doing something positive to help others. And think of ways to alleviate boredom if the disruption has put a stop to normal extracurricular activities, such as sports or youth activities. Try board games, arts and crafts, or meeting with other flood-affected friends instead. Avoid negative reactions to annoying or irritating behaviours such as clinginess, repeated questions about the floods, acting out flood play, or seeking reassurance. Just understand that your child is doing their best to cope and be patient. Maintain a positive mindset and speak of the future in hopeful terms. This is so important. Encourage your child to see the good in the situations that you find yourselves in. At school, communicate with teachers about what to expect from your child and be prepared to spend extra time helping them with homework if they are finding it really hard to concentrate. And getting involved in community activities. Helping the community is good for positive feelings. And finding some community activities unrelated to floods might be helpful for a mental break. For example, story time at the library, activities at the YMCA or church or community youth groups are all good ways of connecting with others who might have been through similar experiences. But what if my child needs more help? There's no one-size-fits-all solution to trauma, and some kids will need extra help to process their experiences. This is normal. This is okay. If your child is struggling more than 6 weeks after the event, but you know, this is going to go on for much longer, like I mentioned, some families may be reliant on staying with other friends or family for months and months and months. So reach out for help. Reach out for extra help if you need it. Don't be afraid to reach out or assume that others are more important than you are. Your story and experiences are as relevant as anyone else's. And getting professional help may be the next step you need to take in your recovery. So talk to your GP, talk to your childcare teachers, your school teachers. Reach out and ask, where can I get help? And check in with your friends. Check in and say, are you okay? So if you would like to know more about how to help your child manage anxiety, head over to my website, lifeskills4kids.com.au. And there's lots of helpful resources and handy tips and free tip sheets there. Take care. And if you've been affected by the floods, much love, much love. Thanks for joining me on the Life Skills for Kids podcast, giving you superstar parenting tips so you can be the rock in your child's life. Do you have an anxious child and do you feel overwhelmed and unsure how to help them? Check out my book, Teaching Kids to Manage Anxiety, Superstar Practical Strategies, to help your anxious child move from fear and worry to confidence and peace. I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. The information we discussed today was just that, information only. It is not specific advice. If you take action following something you heard today, it's important to make sure you get professional advice about your unique situation before you proceed, whether that advice be legal, financial, accounting, medical, or other advice. Please reach out to me if you have any questions or if there's another topic you'd like explored. And if you know someone who might benefit from the show, remember to tell them or suggest my Instagram, Facebook, or Life Skills for Kids website. Thank you.